You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today. And it's for me. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Oh God, I pause right now, thanking you for one more opportunity to proclaim your word. I ask, oh God, that on this day you would hide me in the shadow of the cross and save me from me. Be pleased, oh God, with all that I think, all that I say, and all that I do on this day. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Is there a Mary in the house? I ask the question, are you a witness? You know, some of us hear this question and we immediately begin to think of a courtroom setting. Why? I don't know. And to be honest, I probably don't want to know. It's okay to laugh. But a witness is much, much more than just someone who testifies in a courtroom. Mr. Webster, my friend, tells us that a witness is one who can give a first-hand accounting of something. A witness is something that serves as evidence or a sign. A witness is even an attestation to a fact or testimony. So I ask again, are you a witness? Church witnessing can sometimes be dicey. Let's be honest, my account may not and probably is not someone else's account. My evidence is not and probably will not be someone else's evidence. And my testimony is my testimony. It's not going to be someone else's testimony. If this is going over someone's head, I'm talking about perspective and believability. Speaking as a parent and a grandparent who has read a book or two on the subject of living life on the wild side, I believe that the wilder or more unrealistic or more unimaginable the story, the more unbelievable the story. And while hating to admit this, all too often, the more the witness is marginalized or other, the more unbelievable the story and the storyteller. The lives of too many witnesses have been ruined because they were not deemed to be believable. Whether the witness was too brown or too black or from the wrong country or the wrong gender, or using the wrong pronoun, or loving the wrong person, lives have been, are, and it seems like will continue to be ruined because somebody refused to believe it. And maybe it's just my imagination, but this wreckage has led to rumors and gossiping and even sometimes flat out lying. I know that you don't believe Christians lie, but they do. I'm talking about darkness right now, church. This darkness has caused more than one career to end prematurely, more than one relationship to end prematurely, more than one reputation to be impugned. I'm talking about straight out character assassination in some instances. We have an Easter word from God today, and it's for all of us. And that word is that if we live long enough, all of us are going to have some darkness enter our life. If we live long enough, we will suffer through some hard times. If we just hold on to the truth, we will have, the promise is, a testimony. Make no mistake, we are living in some dark times right now. Mass shootings continue to rise, and still no sensible gun laws. agents of the government being given permission to enter into schools and houses of worship because they think an illegal immigrant may be on the grounds. And don't get me started about the musky aroma trampling on the privacy of citizens emanating from the Doge. Did I say that? We are living in some dark times, but we need to hold on to the truth, standing 10 toes down on the truth, and be unafraid to give our testimony. We have a word. I didn't know if I was going to preach today, but I think I will. The truth is that Jesus is alive. We don't have to cry anymore about what we have or do not have. We don't have to cry anymore about where we are or where we wish we were. We don't have to cry anymore about who we are or who we wish we were. We have a resurrected Savior who is able and willing to resurrect minds, hearts, and souls. Thanks be to God. The question is, are you a witness? Let's see. Today's passage of Scripture provides us with John's accounting of the resurrection. And while the interaction between Peter and this beloved disciple is worthy of a sermon that I've actually preached a time of three, today I'm going to focus on the Bible's first apostle, a woman named Mary of Magdala. Contrary to myth and legend, you know, rumors are a terrible thing. We do not know much about Mary Magdalene. We know that Jesus cast seven demons out of her. We know Mary and some other women served or were deacons to Jesus. We know Mary followed or was a disciple to Jesus. And we know that Mary was at the cross along with a few others and watched Jesus die. Our story begins with Mary going to the tomb where they have laid the body of Jesus, and we're told it was dark. And when Mary arrives, she finds the stone has been removed from the opening of the tomb. We might be able to assume that Mary was frightened because the scriptures tell us that she didn't look into the tomb right away, but she ran and told Peter and the beloved disciple, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Is there a Mary in the house? The darkness Mary had to deal with was much, much more than just physical darkness. Mary was also enduring a spiritual darkness. If Mary was a follower or a disciple of Jesus, then we must assume that she overheard Jesus tell his disciples that he would have to suffer and die. That God would raise him up. Mary's ears heard the words, but like some of us, the words did not take root in her soul. How many times have we looked at a seemingly impossible situation and given up because our mind told us this is a no-win situation? I'm talking about spiritual darkness right now. How many times have we been caught up in seemingly hopeless circumstances and tried to run away instead of stepping out on faith? I'm talking to the witnesses in the house now. I'm talking to the saints who have allowed our intelligence and experience to place limits on the transformational power of Jesus. Mary's mind tells her that a body cannot rise from the dead. It doesn't matter that we're talking about Jesus right now. It doesn't matter that Mary has witnessed Jesus heal the sick and feed the multitudes. Mary sees, but she doesn't really see. It doesn't matter that Mary has witnessed Jesus casting out demons and even raising the dead. She sees, but she doesn't really see. And some of us are just like our friend Mary. We have placed limitations on this transformational power of Jesus because we see, but we don't really see. We have witnessed the power of Jesus resurrect saints that doctors have given up on. But when we get sick, we lose hope. We see, but we don't really see. We have witnessed the power of Jesus resurrect a nearly dead church. However, when times get tough, we get scared. Not in St. Louis, so I didn't say scared. We have witnessed the power of Jesus cast out demons in the saints in our families. However, when we're losing our battle to our own demon, we try to fight it alone. I think many of us have much more in common with Mary than we may care to admit. We see, but we don't really see. We know the words in the book. Some of us can quote it front cover to back cover, all 66 books. We see, but we don't really see because the words have not really taken root in our soul. We know what we should do, but when darkness enters our life, we're ready to run away. I'm talking about talking by faith, but not necessarily walking by faith. Is there a Mary in the house? I'm going to get back to the story. Y'all came to church. Y'all don't want to hear this right now. A grief-stricken Mary returns to the tomb, and twice she's asked the question, why are you weeping? Get this now. Mary is asked by angels, why are you weeping? Then Jesus shows up and asks the same question, why are you weeping? Mary is so torn up over what has happened 3 days ago that she cannot see the blessing staring her right in the face today. Mary's so caught up in the fluff that she cannot move beyond the stuff. Y'all like that? Is there a Mary in the house? How many of us are so caught up in what happened yesterday that we cannot see the blessing staring us right in the face today? I'm talking about being unable to move beyond the stuff. I'm talking about stuff like the pain of yesterday. I'm talking about stuff like the loneliness of yesterday. I'm talking about stuff like the lies and the deceit of yesterday. Is there a Mary in the house? Some of us are feeling so sorry for ourselves or our circumstances that we fail to recognize that even in the midst of trials and tribulations, we are still blessed. Some of us have become so accustomed to keeping that pity party going that we fail to recognize that even in the midst of our sorrow, we are still blessed. But there's another side to this story. Mary is heartbroken and confused, and just when she has come to the end of her rope, Jesus calls her by name, and her eyes are opened. That's what my scriptures say. Is there a Mary in the house? Is there someone listening today who remembers being down in the valley and hearing Jesus call you by name? Is there someone listening today who can recall a time in your life when you were sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you were an outcast in your own family, when you were talked about like you had a tail, when folks were spreading around and throwing dirt on your name, and when you felt like you could not take it anymore, you felt this peace flood your soul that surpassed all understanding? I'm talking about going as low as you can go and finding out that as low as you are not alone. Talking about having doors closed in your face and all of a sudden someone has opened a window of opportunity. Is there a Mary in the house who remembers Jesus calling you by name? I'm talking about that time when you could not take another step and you heard your name. I'm talking about that time when you could not take any more heartache and you heard your name. I'm talking about that time when you were on the throes, in the throes of defeat, and all of a sudden victory was on the horizon. I'm talking to the Marys in the house. Easter is not about what happened yesterday, believe it or not. And Easter is not a once a year event. Every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year is Easter, because Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Easter is our acknowledgement of the resurrected Christ, who defeated death and rose with all power in his hands. Easter is the acknowledgement of the resurrected Christ, who gave it all so that we might experience real hope and real joy and, yes, real love. Is there a Mary in the house? When Jesus calls us, then we can shake off the worries of yesterday. When Jesus calls us, then we can shake off the sadness of yesterday. When Jesus calls us, then we can shake off the pain of yesterday. We can shake off the sorrow of yesterday. We can shake off the confusion of yesterday. Is there a Mary in the house? I'm almost done. But before I close, I need to spend just a few more moments looking at what happens to Mary after her eyes are opened. The scriptures tell us that when Mary's eyes are opened and she recognizes Jesus, she calls him Rabboni, or my teacher, my master. The promise that Jesus made in the 16th chapter of John comes to pass with Mary's sorrow being transformed into joy. And something strange takes place. Mary is ecstatic, and she grabs Jesus. But Jesus tells her, and this is the David Gilmore translation, "Turn me loose. Get off me. I wondered and prayed as to why Jesus would tell Mary, do not hold on to me. And a possible understanding might be that one of the problems with too many of the resurrected saints, I'm talking about those of us who know that Jesus is alive, is our desire to keep Jesus all to ourselves. You know, he's my Jesus. I might introduce you to him, but he's mine. Jesus tells Mary and tells us, go and say, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. We need to go and let our siblings who do not know, I have seen the Lord. When that fire comes alive in us, we need to go living our lives in such a way to let the world know, I have seen the risen Christ. Is there a Mary in the house? I must be by myself, so allow me to offer my testimony or my witness. I have seen the Lord. I saw the Lord in the life of my grandmother. My Mary was named Margie. Bills were due. Didn't know where money was coming from. She saw the Lord fixing an extra portion when food was scarce in the house, raising 5 children, 3 grandchildren, rambunctious boys, I must say, and caring for a bedridden husband and still keeping a roof over our heads. Yes, she saw the Lord suffering stroke after stroke after stroke, and still able to smile her way through. Oh, yes, I have seen the Lord. Is there a Mary in the house? Is there anyone listening today unafraid to go and proclaim in word and action, I have seen the risen Christ? Is there someone listening today unafraid to go proclaiming by word and action, yes, Jesus is alive? I'm talking about carrying the good news that Jesus is alive and fighting the good fight on behalf of those who have been pushed to the margins. I'm talking about living like we believe that Jesus is alive and getting into what I heard referred to once as good trouble on behalf of the world, those that the world has tried to other. I'm talking about offering our last and our best to society's last, least and lost, and remembering how Jesus gave his best to us, least, last, and lost. On this Resurrection Sunday, my hope, my prayer that is that each and every one of us hear Jesus call our name, and we answer, yes, Lord, yes. And to all I offer, shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.